J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know that J.C. is out there running his mouth. Let me read you a comment that he left to someone. Hello, Beth, you Nazi cow.
Hi, I need to speak to J.C. I've been trying to talk to him since before the election.
Yeah, he's a big pain in the butt. Can I just give him a message?
Just tell him I think he's an arrogant jackass. I'll tell you the reason why.
All right, just so you know, by the way, he drives me crazy, too. I hate him.
Well, he made the comment that he said, who do these religious people think they are, you know, when they were going to vote against the stem cell? Who do they think they are? And I thought, you know, what an arrogant jackass.
Right. So, I agree. He's always doing stuff like that.
And who are you? Are you J.C.?
Yeah.
I figured you might be.
Are you an electrician?
You big dummy.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Wednesday, January 4th, 2023, 42 days until pitchers and catchers report to spring training in Jupiter, Florida. How you doing, kids? You are at jconline.com. People are already all over me trying to find out if I have connections to tickets to the Chris Rock Dave Chappelle show, which was announced yesterday. Man, oh man, that was like immediate. They made the announcement and, you know, within a couple of seconds, I started getting calls. And I always have to disappoint everybody because, you know, back in the old days, when I got into this business in the 1970s, that was one of the main reasons you got in. You know, chicks, a lot of free albums and CDs, you know, depending on which era you're actually talking about. The prestige of being able to go around and say, yes, that's me on the radio. But also free concert tickets. You know, the promoters of the concert, the people who were putting the darn thing on, wanted all of us at the shows because they knew that we would talk about it. And, you know, that's good biz. You know, it made perfect sense because if you go to a Zeppelin concert in 1973, you know, whatever, and then you come back on the air and you start talking about it, like next time Zeppelin comes down, I want to miss that. And it made the entire concert-going experience, you know, seem like, well, you know, we need to be a part of this. But boy, did that change. Oh, man. It was about 15 years ago. It started to go away, and then it just completely went away. The best I'll say now is that, you know, it used to be that somebody would call you up and go, hey, you know, I really need tickets for this Britney Spears show. I got a 12-year-old. And yeah, and you go, all right, let me see what I can do. You'd call the guy up and say, I got a friend who needs some Britney Spears tickets. You know, oh, yeah, sure. Go ahead. But then it turned into, well, I can get you some tickets, but you have to be the one using them. You can't give them to somebody else. So if you need Britney Spears tickets for yourself, yeah, I can get those for you. And they would come to the seats during the show to make sure that you were really there. And if you abused that, well, then you just didn't get any anymore. But that didn't really matter either because eventually they just did away with the whole thing. The best you get now is that maybe you say, okay, I want to see you too. And they're like, all right, are they for you? Yes. Because, you know, we're going to check. And go, yes, they're for me. And they go, okay, we can get you some tickets that you can buy. We have a pretty good section of the, you know, whatever arena we're talking about. We got a pretty good section here. There's going to be a lot of media, celebrities and stuff. And yeah, we will let you buy the tickets in that section. That's the best you get. And a lot of times now you don't even get that. And there's a reason for that. There was actually multiple reasons for that. But the biggest reason is that the acts that are touring aren't making any money. Nobody's getting paid anymore because of YouTube and all the other different ways that you can access artists' material now. And that includes comedians. And so nobody's paying for anything anymore, for music or for comedy. It's all free. That's money that used to go into the pockets of the record companies and the promoters and the actual artists themselves. Peter Frampton was up on Capitol Hill, oh my gosh, well, it may have been 10, 12 years ago, and he talked about the fact that one of his songs was downloaded on the internet something like, I don't know, 6 million times. So, you know, 6 million people got Peter Frampton's new song or one of the old songs, whatever, but they got one of the Peter Frampton songs for free. Or more disturbing than that, when iTunes was, you know, really the big thing when it first came out, everybody's like downloading iTunes stuff, you'd pay 99 cents for a song. So you had a combination of all this free stuff flying around on the internet, all these individual downloads, 99 cents each, 6 million times. And Peter Frampton told the gang up on Capitol Hill, yeah, 6 million downloads, I made like $4,000. That was it. And even those stodgy old fucks up on Capitol Hill, you know, running these investigating committees, like Chuck Grassley, you know, would get in the car every day and go home listening to the Andrews Sisters on his car stereo. Even those guys were shocked. So the system is all broken down now. The only way people are making money anymore now is touring. A little bit on merchandise, but basically live performances. That's it. That's why your concert tickets, you know, the prices are going through the roof. And that's why nobody gets any free shit anymore. And that's the way things operate. It's too bad, but that's the way it is now. Which is a very, very long and convoluted way of me saying, don't call me for Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle tickets, which, by the way, go on sale Friday at the usual ticket outlets. Update on Damar Hamlin. Not too much. All we're hearing now is a couple of relatively new details about what actually happened the night of the collapse. And apparently his heart stopped more than, I think it was two or three times. They had to keep resuscitating him. And he's in one of those forced, you know, induced comas now, which is supposed to allow his body to not consume much energy while it's trying to recuperate, trying to recover. The fact you're 24 years old and a professional athlete has got to work in his favor. But this is, you know, they even had Chris Pronger on television last night because we were talking about this yesterday morning. This appears to be an identical case. And if you missed yesterday's podcast, we were talking about it. And again, this is based on actual information as opposed to some stuff that I read this morning before we started up the podcast, where you have people with absolutely no medical background whatsoever, let alone cardiology, speculating, or in some cases just outright insisting, well, there had to be something wrong with his heart to begin with. No, no, that's not true. You don't know what you're talking about. You have no idea what you're talking about and why you think that you should be able to go on somebody's comment section on Facebook and start pontificating about something you know nothing about. Just absolutely mystifies me. But again, as we were talking yesterday, your heart just, you know, and in between each one of those beats that you can hear, there's like a split second. And if you are hit in exactly the wrong way in the chest while it is in between one of those beats, you know, if everything that can go wrong goes wrong all at the same time, you end up like Chris Pronger, you end up like Damar Hamlin. So one of his relatives was on television last night, apparently Damar Hamlin receiving only about 50% oxygen now, down from 100% when he was first admitted, but he's still in intensive care. He is still sedated and he's still in critical condition. I have no idea what this story is going to look like in a week. No idea whatsoever. And no, I don't think anybody else does either. All you can really do right now is have some little glimmer of hope for the guy. Apparently, as the story goes, it was not the NFL that decided not to come back out on the field and complete the game the other night. In fact, the NFL was telling the guys, give yourselves 20 minutes and get back out there. We're going to resume the game. And the players just started taking off their uniforms and their shoulder pads and said, fuck you. No, we're not. We're not going back out. And it was apparently at that point, if you believe this story, and I do, based on the sources that it came from, that's when the NFL finally said, oh, okay, all right, well, then we're going to do the right thing here. We're going to cancel. We're going to postpone the game. Good, good. It was the players who just basically told Mr. Money Grubber himself the commissioner of the NFL, Roger Goodell, to go pound sand. And, you know, we've talked about this before. Roger Goodell is married to a gal who used to be a reporter on Channel 4. And at that time, all we knew is that she had some boyfriend in New York who worked for the NFL. And that's all we knew. And then one day, she quits Channel 4. And the next thing you know, we hear that she gets, well, she did a brief stint on Fox News Channel for a while, she was on. And then we hear she gets married, and it turns out to be the next commissioner of the NFL. And she was a real sweetheart. She was very, very nice, very pretty. And now she gets to assist him in spending the $44 million a year that Roger Goodell gets paid to be the commissioner of the NFL and do such a swell job. Oh, good, 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 good. Okay, while I was just talking to you, I was doing a search. So if I sounded distracted, this is why. But I did find this. This comes in two parts now. Okay, this comes in two parts. This is the Fox News Channel, and this goes back about, I don't know, 12, 15 years, something like that. And Shepard Smith, who was a longtime anchor on Fox News, like I said, this comes in two parts. So here's part one, and this is Shepard Smith on Fox News.
J-Lo's new song, Jenny from the Block, all about Lopez roots, about how she's still a neighborhood gal at heart. But folks from that street in New York, the Bronx section, sound more likely to give her a curb job than a blow job or block party. The New York Post, well, sorry about that slip up there. I have no idea how that happened.
I know why it happened. Because you were thinking about the blowjob you got from your boyfriend the previous night. And you're sitting there doing the news, but you're thinking, man, that was a damn good blowjob last night. All right, so anyhow, so that's Shepard Smith. Now fast forward a couple of months, and Jane Skinner, who at the time I believe was engaged to the NFL commissioner Roger Goodell, Jane Skinner is doing the news and then going to hand it off to Shepard Smith on Fox News. So she's wrapping up her last story. Shepard Smith is sitting there getting ready to go on. She's supposed to read this news story and then hand it off to Shep. And here's how the future commissioner of the NFL's wife, Jane Skinner, handled it.
The deputy police chief says six officers were killed, including the district's top cop after the vehicle they were riding in was sprayed with bullets. And those are your latest headlines. I'm Jane Skinner. Time now to send you back to Shepard, who is live where? Just outside of Memphis. Do you know how hard it is to read when everyone else in the studio is shaking with laughter at your misfortune?
I know. I've been there, Jane.
YouTube me. Just YouTube me. Do it now.
Wow.
And then a couple of months after that, Shep struck again.
They are at the start of an investigation which they genuinely believe is going to uncover tens of millions of dollars in healthcare fraud.
Wow. Shep. Jonathan Cunt live in our Southern California newsroom. He was of this Thursday, rising. August the 7th, 2008. Did you see Jonathan Hunt's report earlier in this newscast? The producer in the booth behind me is Jonathan Glenn. So I was talking to Jonathan Glenn, and then I was about to thank Jonathan Hunt, and I said, Jonathan, you get it.
Did you ever watch somebody trying to polish a turd? Wow. I love this anchor woman up in Canada.
SaskEnergy is announcing a proposal to jack up the cost of heating your home by 27 to 30%.
Back to Fox News. Different reporter. What's her name? Kira something?
Two of our favorite analysts, Roland Martin. Well, I don't know. I'm going to go favorite there. CNN political analyst and Obama
you
supporter.
You know you love me, Kira.
At least Leslie Sanchez, Republican strategist and CNN political contributor, is always on time. Sorry,
barely.
Leslie. Oh, Lord.
And while we're at it, let's not let MSNBC off the hook.
Continuing to follow the latest developments in the crash of Delta Flight 5191, 49 people killed. Here's a Black Hawk helicopter surveying.
What the hell is it with these women on the network news with the idea of a black cock somewhere in the back of their heads? Something's going on here. More questions than answers here on the J.C. Corcoran podcast today. Oh, one more thing on the Damar Hamlin thing. I knew this was going to happen, and they didn't disappoint me. The anti-vaxxer crowd, the first thing they started shouting all over the internet the other night was, he had just gotten the jab. He had just gotten his COVID shot, and that's why he collapsed. This, of course, 1,000% false. People who put this stuff up there apparently think that we're not going to check it out, or they feel that there's so much distrust in the mainstream media that even if you do say, there's nothing to that, the guy didn't even get the shot, that nobody's going to believe it anyhow, and therefore the conspiracy theory story is more sexy, it's more interesting, it's more fun to believe that than the truth. It's a very dangerous time we live in right now. Another phony story going around is Brian Koberger, the guy who is charged with the Idaho murders of those college students. There was a story going around yesterday that a woman who was in a cell in the same block with Brian Koberger for the last couple of days while they get ready to extradite him back to Idaho. And this woman who was in jail and, you know, right there near him and right there, you should probably say, wait a minute. There's some bullshit there because they don't put female and male inmates in the same block. So right off the bat, you know, like there's something wrong with the story. But anyhow, she was going around and it was carried by a lot of websites. And the story was that Koberger was very belligerent with the guards and saying, yeah, I cut them and I'll cut you too. And just making a bunch of belligerent statements. And they double checked it and it's not true. If anything, the guy seems more quiet and subdued, and it would be out of character for him to be yelling stuff. Most of these bullshit stories don't take much effort to figure out. You can figure out they're wrong, that they're bogus pretty quickly. Like I said, on the story I just read you, 5 seconds into the story, you're like, hold it, wait a minute, stop. How would a woman and a man end up in the same cell block? That doesn't happen. That's not the way they do it in jails. I don't even need to hear the rest of the story to know that this whole thing is made up. But like I said, we live in dangerous times. All right, the Republicans putting on quite a show up on Capitol Hill. One after another, they keep doing this vote. And it ain't working out the way they imagined. And then you get this guy, George Santos. Oh, my God. It's just comedy gold. It's comedy gold. So those two stories got the attention last night of Stephen Colbert.
But McCarthy's allies seem prepared for the long haul, with one saying, if they think this is going to be a game of chicken to see who's going to blink first, they're going to be sadly surprised. Really? You know a game of chicken does not involve blinking, right? Are you thinking of a staring contest with a chicken? Because if that's true, that you're going to be sadly surprised. According to the internet, technically speaking, chickens do not blink. Don't do it. Boy, this guy's chicken metaphor turned out to be a real canary in a china shop. Now, what makes Kevin's anguish particularly delicious is that it's no secret that he has dreamed of being Speaker of the House for years. Reportedly, interns in his office are already expected to call him Mr. Speaker. And this weekend, staffers were seen moving his boxes into the Speaker's office. I wouldn't be in a big hurry to unpack. He may not be great at counting votes, but he's good at counting chickens before they hatch. Hey. Little advice, once they do hatch, Kevin, do not get into a staring contest with them. You will lose. Again, until they select a speaker, nothing happens. No one's even allowed to be sworn in to the House, which might be a good thing because one of those people is Republican representative and kid at the slumber party who'd rather hang upstairs with your mom, George Santos. Santos just got elected in New York, and we recently learned that during the campaign, he lied about, and I'm rounding down here, everything. So grab a snack, stay hydrated, this might take a minute. For starters, during his campaign, Santos claimed to have attended both Baruch College and New York University, but neither school could locate records to verify his claims. So he may not have graduated, but he did get his BS. And it's not just higher ed. Sure, why not? And it's not just higher ed. Santos claims he attended a prestigious high school here in New York, but a spokesman there says that that school also had no record of his attending. It's one thing to lie about your college, but lying about your high school is sad. Next, we're going to find out he fabricated his transcript in kindergarten. Come on, George. Is this even your macaroni necklace? It's real. Santos also lied about working at Citigroup and Goldman Sachs, backtracking later, saying the language in his resume stated that he had worked for, not on, or at, or in. Okay, except that for is the preposition that makes it seem most like you worked for a company. No, I said I cheated with Rebecca, not in or at, though sometimes under. You guys want more lies? I've never asked that question before. Well, you're in luck. Because Santos also admitted to lying when he claimed that he owned 13 different properties, when in reality, he resides at his sister's place in Huntington. Should have known when he said the properties were Boardwalk, Baltic Avenue, Marvin Gardens, and a Scotty dog the size of a top hat. So all of this is bad and should be disqualifying for public office, but it could be worse, and it is, because he also claimed his mother died in the September 11th attacks, then clarified that she passed away a few years later, then re-clarified that she actually died in December of 2016. That is a horrible thing to lie about. His poor mother must be spinning in all of her graves. So, pretty bad that he lied about his mom dying on 9/11. But that seems kind of quaint when you learn that Santos also said his grandparents survived the Holocaust as Ukrainian Jewish refugees, a claim that is not supported by genealogical records. In fact, they were born in Brazil. So technically, they did survive the Holocaust by never being in Europe. That's a pretty big lie, but Santos had a clever out with this statement: I never claimed to be Jewish, I am a Catholic. Because I learned my maternal family had a Jewish background, I said I was Jew-ish. Well, sure, in fact, that's a whole separate religion, to be Jew-ish. You celebrate Rosh Hashanah. And Hanukkah by eating a big matzah ham sandwich. These are all terrible, terrible lies, but lying to get into office isn't illegal. You know what is illegal? This next thing. Because back in 2008, while living in Brazil, Santos went to a small clothing store and spent nearly $700 using a stolen checkbook and a false name. Now, in his defense, he needed something nice to wear to his mother's 10th funeral. Santos denies committing the crime, but he's got a bit of an uphill battle here because in the legal filing, Santos is identified by his full name and date of birth, as well as by the names of his mother's father. Also, Santos confessed to the crime, and the only reason the case remained unresolved was because authorities were later unable to locate him. So Santos is on the lam, and his brilliant idea was to run for Congress. It reminds me of that movie, Catch Me, You Can.
Pretty good. I don't usually play segments that long from the monologues, but that was extraordinary stuff last night. All right, what else we got here? Jeremy Renner got run over by his own 14,000-pound snow groomer called a piston bully. He was helping a family member whose car had gotten stuck on his private road. After getting the car unstuck, Jeremy hopped out of the snow groomer thinking it was in park, but it started rolling. He tried to jump back into it, but he fell and got run over. Neighbors brought towels and rendered first aid until help could arrive. There was not a doctor present, as previous reports had claimed. It's not clear if a mechanical issue caused the accident or if he just failed to put the machine in park before jumping out. But he's got, it's another critical condition thing here. He's got blunt force trauma to his chest and his head and his leg. And there was some initial story saying they had lost a leg, but those apparently are not true. Still a pretty awful accident. Dave & Buster's co-founder, James Buster Corley, dead of an apparent suicide. You probably saw the prices at his place. Quentin Tarantino, Ana de Armas, Jamie Lee Curtis, and Tracy Morgan amongst the presenters for this year's Golden Globes. That is this weekend. Birthdays today, Collinsville's own Michael Stipe from REM, 63. Diane Cannon, younger audiences remember Ally McBeal. Older audiences remember Bob Carroll and Ted Nallis. And of course, Heaven Can Wait. The Doors released their self-titled debut album featuring Light My Fire and The End. 56 years ago today, 1967. 1970, Keith Moon accidentally ran over and killed his chauffeur while trying to get away from a crowd of skinheads. Jeez, there's a lot going on in that story. That was in 1970. And Nixon refused to hand over the tape recordings and documents subpoenaed by the Senate Watergate Committee on this date back in 1974. Late night tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got director Darren Aronofsky. Kimmel's got Anna Kendrick. Shania Twain on with Colbert and Brendan Fraser, who's getting lots of Oscar buzz. He's on with Seth Meyers. On this date in 1992, I was on the cover of St. Louis Magazine. They call you up and they go, we'd like to do a story about you. Come to your house. We're going to talk to you. We want to come two or three times. We want to take pictures. We'd like to get a picture of you and your babies and your dog and your wife and all that sort of stuff. We're going to put you on the cover. I'm like, fuck, all right, sure, come on over. And you have them over to your house. You give them stuff to drink. You make them feel comfortable. You help out in any way you can. You answer all the questions. You pose for all the pictures. And then the thing comes out, and on the cover, they call you an unemployed shock jock. This might surprise you, but I stopped cooperating with St. Louis Magazine on that date. But interestingly, that did not stop them, because years later, they did a 7-page story on me, authored by a reporter that I've never met in my life, that I've never spoken to, have no connection to. They did 7 pages on me in St. Louis Magazine, a reporter who never spoke to me. It's really disturbing when you stop to think that the standards that I have on a podcast coming out of my home studio, that those standards are more stringent than the standards of a magazine that bears the name of our fair city. Doesn't bother anybody else. And I was coming out of a restaurant the other day, and there was a woman, and she had one of those big planners, you know, one of those month-at-a-glance things. You know, a giant calendar, and then you write in all the dates and the birthdays and all that sort of stuff. And I stopped. I said, oh, my God, that's exactly what I was doing this morning. My mom used to do this every New Year's Day. She would take out the old calendar, lay it next to the new calendar, and then transfer all of the stuff from the old calendar to the new calendar. All the birthdays and important dates and stuff like that. And you're like, wow, JC, you know, they got computers and you can do that on your phone. Now, no good. I got to see the entire month, because when you do things the way I do, you have to sort of say to yourself, all right, I got too much stuff bunched up there at the end of the month. Spread some of that stuff out. I like to have an overview of the entire month. So I'm looking at January right now, and I can see everything that's going on, and I can balance stuff out. Maybe it's the Libra in me. I don't know. But for those of you who care about stuff like this, this year, Valentine's Day is on a Tuesday. St. Patrick's Day is on a Friday. That's always good. Cinco de Mayo is on a Friday. That's great. Juneteenth is on a Monday. 4th of July is on a Tuesday. That's going to really screw things up. What days are we going to get off? You know, you're going to have to work the previous week all the way up to Friday, but the 4th of July is on Tuesday. So are you going to get the Monday, the 3rd? Is that going to be the day off for everybody? Or is it going to be the 5th, the day after the 4th of July? And I have no idea. And if you know the answer to that, please let me know. Halloween's on a Tuesday. That's another thing that's going to screw everything up, because you're going to have Halloween parties on the previous Friday and Saturday and maybe even Sunday. And then there's a day off, and then you got Halloween, and then the kids go off? That doesn't make any sense. Christmas is on a Monday. New Year's Day is on a Monday. And until there is a new Speaker of the House, absolutely nothing can get done in Washington. So in other words, it's business as usual. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran Podcast is in the can for Wednesday, January 4th, 2023. 42 days. Until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. We're here every weekday morning right about this time at jcontheline.com. Spread the word if you can. You can reach me by email, jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. We're back up and running now every morning right about this time. In the meantime, we beat this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.